All right. Thank you so much for having me back again. I don't know how you keep putting up with this, but thank you. Boy, I'll tell you, I got an amazing email here. And let's see where I put this. This girl wrote me, this came in today. Let's see here. All right. This week came in. Today, you came and played at my school. And once you told us why you do what you do, it changed my life. I just want to thank you so much. This past summer, I tried to kill myself more than once. I had a suicide note written, and I had a plan on how I was going to do it. Thankfully, I realized that I would only be passing on my pain to my parents and my best friend. I knew that my parents had already lost my brother from sickness when he was 5 years old, and they divorced for about 10 years before getting back together and having me. I knew that they wouldn't be able to handle it. Most of all, I was worried about my best friend, who at the time was suicidal as well, and we had made a deal that if one of us killed ourselves, the other one would too. That is what kept me alive. 2 days after I told my mother, as soon as I got home from school, that I had tried to kill myself and have been cutting myself for about 1 year, she immediately called the doctor and got help for me. I now want to help keep thoughts away from suicide. I tried to kill myself because I felt like I was a worthless, terrible human being, and that's all I was doing was causing annoyance for my family. When you came to the school today, you brought me to tears. I just wanted to let you know your message was heard, and because of this message, I feel strong enough to make it through life now with God's strength. I finally found that answer, Christ. And when I was going through all of this, I thought, if I feel this terrible, how can God be real? How could he possibly love me? But the Lord brought courage to me again with this reminder at school. I'm going to go to church faithfully with my mother. So thank you for being that person who brings this message of Christ that changes many lives. And thank you for this message. It saved me. You just never know who you're reaching. And you never know what heartache people are going through. Just amazing.
That's the girl Stephanie, right?
Stephanie, right? Yeah. And she didn't, you know, I think it was the one that came up to me and she showed me just tons of razor blade cuts all the way up her arm. So we're just praying tomorrow night they'll find, many more will find that there's an answer and it's not just an idea, it's the answer, isn't it? So let's pray that God uses tomorrow night. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, a miracle happens over and over. And how the power of Christ can change a person's life, no matter what they've been through. And Lord, I thank you for the strength again that you gave this body to go through. I guess, Lord, it's around 74 games now in 2 weeks. And Lord, my body is still alive. I'm still standing here, and I thank you for it. I thank you gave me strength today in spite of it all. And I pray for tomorrow, for your just as you brought the animals to the ark, that you would bring your power and strength in the gym to preach this message tomorrow night that is so vitally needed and that people will hear it so clearly. And thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak tonight. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. I want to speak tonight. Now, last night I edified the position of the pastor, and I thank God for your pastor and how he makes you feel so at home. And we've been out to eat a few times, and I found out he eats like I eat. But we've had a wonderful time, just really have. And where's Tom? Oh, there you are. He's right there. And so last night was edifying your pastor. Tonight I'm preaching on the sins of Tom. 12-part series. Now, Tom's been a blessing, and I thank the Lord for him, and his constant serving and just is just amazing. I want to preach tonight on fear accuses God and paralyzes us. What a truth through the Bible. The Bible says they limited the Holy One through unbelief. Now, that's true, isn't it? He didn't do many mighty works because of their unbelief. So let's turn it around. He can do many mighty works because of our belief. How many believe that?
Amen.
So let's look at this tonight. Verse 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. What's that verse say? For God hath not given us the spirit of what? Fear. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, if God hasn't given us that spirit, who causes fear? Exactly. If God has not given it to us, then we ought to say to ourselves, anytime we're worried, I've got something God hasn't given me. And God looks at fear. Think about this. He looks at fear as wicked as going to a palm reader. Because I am accusing God of not being able to do things and help me and guide my future, so I might as well just go to a palm reader and get answers there. How many believe this book has all the answers? And so I'm so grateful for it. So when I'm worried, I'm an atheist while I'm worrying, and I'm accusing him. And I saw this in the Bible, and I thought, wow, this is more serious than I thought it was as a sin. When I fear the future, and God knows the future already, or if I fear finances or health or whatever it is, I'm like a child not trusting the Father to care for me. And so that is like upsetting to God so much. It's like the child accusing me of not being able to take care of him. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. How many believe that's true? And so you see it through the scripture. If God promises things and I don't believe those promises, I'm accusing him of being a liar. That's pretty powerful. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I looked up this and it means we won't lack any good thing. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. How many believe our God wants to give good things to us? And it says, shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, which means I shall not want anything else because I got the best. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So God is there, and he wants to bless me so much more than I want to receive that blessing. Now, how do I accuse God when I fear? I fear him. Now, the Father says so many things to us, to think of the sparrow and how he takes care of the sparrow and all kinds of things like this. He gives us promises in Psalm 37. I have been young, now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. When Jesus is all you have, you'll find out he's enough. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Wow, what promises. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. Somebody well put it. Look around and you'll be distressed. Look within, you'll be depressed, but look to the Lord, you'll be at rest. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. Rest in the Lord when God seems slow to act, because all your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Wow. So we can take our burden into God's hands and bring it to the mercy seat and come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. How many times in the last 2 weeks have I gone to God saying, I can't go in this gym, Lord? And Pastor, you might have thought Pastor was exaggerating. It is the truth. I really stretched bad, and it's beginning to heal now, thank God for it. But after 74 games, I'm here to tell you tonight, just within the last 2 weeks, I serve a God who's there at the time of need. Isn't it wonderful to know that? That when, at the time of need, he'll be there. So if I worry, I'm saying, God, you don't keep your word. Yea, hath God said. I think I'll just believe the serpent for a while. And I better believe God. I better believe God. Now, the Bible says fear is a snare. Now, when I worry, Here's what happens. The devil is at work with our brain. Do you know that you can actually think long enough about something that you go into a deep state of depression because of what you're thinking about? As a man thinketh in his heart, so what is he? Now, fear causes, the devil tries to get us to worry about everything. Now, here's what I want to do, because it makes so much sense. I want you to close your eyes. Aren't you glad I'm not ending yet? Just close your eyes, and I want you in your mind right now to picture a giraffe. Okay? See the giraffe in your mind. Now, would you please, right now, think of an elephant? Put an elephant on your mind right now. Now, how many of you right now seeing the elephant are not seeing the giraffe? Raise your hands. All right? That's because you're not thinking of the elephant. You're thinking of the giraffe because I just said giraffe again. Okay, look at me a minute. When you're thinking about the giraffe, you can't be thinking of and seeing the elephant and vice versa. Now, here's what I want to show you. If we can cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ and get our mind on the word and truth, then fear won't take over. We are what we think about. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. In other words, I want you to think about that so much that it'll cause you to want to give yourself to me and move forward. Because you're thinking about that I am your exceeding reward. And he said, I am God, the God of my father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will be there, make of thee a great nation. So I want you to think about that I am going to bless you and make you a great nation. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. For the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Wow. So when they were going into battle, there were enemies. Giants. Can I ask you a question? How many of you have enemies in your life spiritually? You know what you got to do? You got to get your mind off the giraffe and on Jesus Christ. And on the truth of the Bible. You see what I'm saying by the illustration? If we do not do this, then we're not thinking about God's thoughts. How many of you believe the Bible is God's thoughts? So when I think about God's thoughts, I can't be thinking about other things at the same time. That's why he says meditate day and night. So you can be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and bring forth fruit in its season. Why? Because fruit can't come if I'm not thinking straight. I would not be a blessing to this church if I sat around worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. And I've been preaching to myself as much as you. In fact, the best sermons we preach is when we preach to ourselves. He'll admit it. So will Tom. There's a whole lot Tom does that with. But you actually will. Listen, you actually will find yourself overcoming when you think overcoming thoughts from the Bible. How about this? With God, all things are possible. How many things are possible? So when we say, God, well, this isn't, right? This can't happen. He may have watched me at one point today, in the last few days saying, this can't happen. Holmes isn't going to do it this time. And the truth is, if we glorify God, and if we think about God, nothing is impossible. Say the word nothing. Nothing. With man, with man, what is impossible to man is possible with God. Deuteronomy says, you shall not fear them, for the Lord your God will fight for you. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven and earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? And shall say unto them, Deuteronomy 23, you shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, you approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you. He will fight for you against your enemies to save you. Oh, God, I'm worried about the enemies. They're taller than me. There's no way I can do this. It's just impossible. And God says, wait a minute. Do you know I'm here? Hey, I'm here. Are you going to accuse me or believe me? Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. How many are glad God doesn't forsake us? And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, In the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. He says, you will. Well, they wandered 40 years because they believed not God in spite of his wondrous works. Can I ask you a question tonight? How many believe God never once lies? So every promise of the Bible is what? True. And it shall come to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and cut off the hand of all that oppressed you and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Now, all through the Bible, it's an amazing truth here. When they feared the enemy and did not do what God said, they were actually accusing God of not being as powerful as the false gods. Let's meditate on that thought for a minute. When I go through a day and I worry and I fear, because of what principalities and powers might do today. And how maybe snow will come tomorrow. Or maybe a fight will break out. Now the school I was going to go, that I'm pray about this, I'm going to a school tomorrow. 150 kids today from that school in Jersey did not come in because of the bomb threat or shooting or whatever it was. I'm praying they'll all come tomorrow, right? But you see, if I spend time thinking and worrying after I've prayed, and God will have there who he wants to have there. So he says, fear not, I am with thee, be not dismayed, I am thy God, I'll strengthen thee, I'll help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. But if I don't believe him or I start fearing, then I'm saying, God, you can't do this. And that's a pretty serious thing to say to God. So why do we fear today when we know the Son of God came out of the grave? And how many believe Jesus is alive? He is. I was in the Christian school today, and I brought that up. I don't know. There looked like 15 or 20 of them got saved today. In a Christian school, and many of them playing games, and they said, I don't want to play games anymore. Now, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So isn't it interesting that he says we don't have to be in bondage to fear because now we got a daddy. Do we want to shake our fist at daddy and say, Daddy, you can't do this? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be what? Afraid. So worry comes. Now, if we were all honest tonight, I could carry this mic all through the crowd. And we would all, including the one preaching, will say, I've accused God, and God help me not to do it. God help me not to do it. With all, You got to see this one. Go to Job 13. You know what Job went through, right? He went through the most horrible stuff, lost everything, lost his wealth and his family. And in Job 13, 15, a very familiar verse. Though he slay me, yet will I, what him? Trust in him. I will maintain my own ways before him. Why? He didn't want to accuse God of anything. He said, everything God does for me is perfect. Even the trials that don't make sense. He's not coming to hurt me. It's coming to help me somehow. So he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, that after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Right? Now, I've often thought why the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, I want you to say the word impossible. So, without faith, it's what?
Impossible.
Impossible to what? So you realize if I go through a day and don't have faith, there's no way I can possibly please him. And I was wondering and meditating on this and wondering why. Because when I'm doubting him, I'm accusing him, and I can't accuse him and please him. There's a hymn. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. It makes no difference what the people say. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. Amen? Listen to this. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them shout for joy. Because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. Wilt thou compass him as with a shield? The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. For thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Oh, how great is the goodness from which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them which trust in thee before the sons of men. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. So what we should do when we face the affliction is say, God, I'm not going to think about the affliction. I'm going to think about you. I'm not going to look at the affliction as much as I look to you and your power and recognize your power. Even if I haven't found the results yet, I am going to trust God. He keepeth all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. How many are glad about this? Yet man, now you got to go to this one. You're in Job, I think. Go to Job 5 and 7. I think all of us will agree with this verse, especially those of you that have been around a while as a Christian. You say, when I got saved, it didn't rid me of trouble. As a matter of fact, the Christian life is equal to a math class. One problem after another problem after another problem. Right? But I want you to see what Job said here. In verse 7, you've heard this, I'm sure. Man is born unto what? Trouble. As the sparks fly upward. Now, if you see sparks and you have a fireplace, the sparks are going to go up, right? It's automatic. And man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. You say, now I've heard that verse, but I never read what came after it. And when I read what came after it, it shocked me. What is said after that? I would seek unto God. And unto God will I commit my cause. With all that trouble that happens, I will still seek God and commit my cause. To God will I commit my cause. Look at 9. Which doeth great things. And unsearchable. marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and send waters upon the fields. What's he doing here? He said, even though all this trouble is happening, I'm still going to glorify God no matter what. My faith has found a resting place. I trust in the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It's enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Faith of our fathers living still. In spite of dungeon, fire, and sword, faith of our fathers, holy faith, will be true to thee till death. What's the answer to this? We've got to think God's thoughts. That's why we're told all the time by pastors, read the Bible, be in the Bible, because you can go through a day and let your mind go haywire away from the thoughts of God. And so we must meditate on the thoughts of God, and that's what Job did. Though he slay me, I will still trust him because my eyes are on him, not what I'm going through. So if we meditate or think about the things that we don't like on the job, we'll start hating the job. If we think about things we're critical about in the church, you'll start leaving the church trying to find a perfect one. If you meditate on the word of God that's preached, then you'll understand how it's going to help you so much. Concrete does not form any shape until there's a mold. And molds are formed by how we think. Now, this may shock you, but you ought to get up in the day and plan what you're going to think about all day. How many would think that this is the best thing to think through the day? Because it molds us. And God's living example in our life takes shape by how much we think about him. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. So we have to actually set it and say, God, I'm going to go on a long drive today. God, I hope I'll think about you. I decided when I moved to Tennessee that I'm more centrally located, and I've driven to almost all my meetings. And it's amazing how many miles I've put on my car in 8 months. I think it's about 48,000 miles. And my car's getting old and it's not even a year yet. But you know, we get all this time and God says, I want you to think about me and think about my power and think about what I can do and think ahead of time what you're going to think about. That's why he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What does that mean? In other words, I am to be separated from this world. Even though I'm in it, I'm not to want it so much because it's all passing away. How many believe this earth is passing away? And so what should I do? I should say, God, I'm going to be set apart from what's passing away by how I think in the truth. Because sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And that's why we crave church, because we want to hear the pastor preach the word. And we come to church because all of a sudden, during that hour, we're hearing about God's thoughts, and it's separating us from this messed up world. But God says, do it more than just what happens in church, because you've got to constantly be separated from the world you're living in. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. So I got to say, God, your mission is what's important on this earth, not whether I have a Lamborghini. He said, well, so-and-so, we got to look what he, let me tell you, it doesn't matter what anybody has, it's all turning to rust. True? Well, you say, how am I not going to want to have all this stuff? Set yourself apart by thinking truth. I'm going to go to heaven forever and ever and ever, and I've only got one short life to lay up treasures in heaven. So I've got to constantly do this. As soon as I stop thinking on truth, I'm back down to earth. So get a few verses and quote them all through the day. Take verses that are of things that pertain to what you struggle with the most. And just take those verses and think about those verses every 5 minutes through the day, right? And as much as God will allow you to, be thinking on those things. And while you're doing that, the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Right? Amen. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. What a thing to think about. And if we think about that long enough, we're going to say, God, you want to bring victory to my life. Wow. Spend time thinking about that. A person absolutely can worry himself to death. Because fear is direct. Now, follow this. Fear is directly related to the mind. Has anybody here ever worried about something without thinking anything? No. Hang on. This came to me while I was studying this, and I thought, your word answers everything. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So if I'm not going to fear, my mind's got to be right. Otherwise, I'll have the spirit of the devil worrying all the time and accusing God and shaking my fist at him, so to speak. So God has not given us the spirit of fear. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, and he will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them. Wow, we read it before, but I just wanted to say it again. God's a good God, right? Now the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You mean hope is supposed to be in my life? You mean I'm supposed to come to church hoping for God to speak to me? Do you mean I'm supposed to go through the day hoping that God leads me to green pastures? Absolutely. Hoping these things, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work will perform it till the day of Christ, right? For it is God who works in us to will and do of his good pleasure. I will cry unto God most high, who performeth all things for me. So better give you the credit for everything that happens, because you're performing it, not me. You're performing it for me. So the Lord God is a sun and a shield and battle and all of it. And though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. When your mind is under attack, worship. A mind should never be neutral. You say, I know if I resist the devil, he'll flee from me. How many believe that's true? If you resist the devil, he will what from you? Flee from you. And the best way to resist him is what Jesus did when he said, it is written. And so if you take the word of God, here is the way that you resist the devil, because he's after your mind, because he knows if you don't think right, you're going to get depressed, you're going to get miserable, you're going to get cantankerous, you're going to be a person who comes in the room and all the lights go out when you enter. Right? We ought to see lights go on when we enter a room. True? But if I'm going to resist the devil, I can't do that without thinking scripture. Otherwise, I'll think negative thoughts. If I think sad things, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to be sad. If I think I'm worthless, I won't do anything for the Lord. We're all worth something to God. Now, truth is, we all deserve hell, and all we like sheep have gone astray. But when we get saved, we got a mighty one in us that wants to work through us, right? So we're not worthless. If you think godly things, you'll act godly. But if the devil controls how we think, we'll have fear, anger, and all kinds of things, even suicide. You say, how come suicide's going on in churches now? Because people are so sidetracked from this crazy smartphone, which is nothing but a dumb phone. If it takes me away from him. Somebody said, they're in Facebook. Get your face in the book. Right? So, I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to be real short because I want you all nice and rested for tomorrow. So I will only preach till 9:45 instead of 9:50. when you let the devil control the way you think, then you'll wonder why my body starts doing stuff. Because the body will always follow the mind. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And then he says, and what you've learned, do. So we can't do it till we think it. What you watch on TV and you're exposed to repeatedly, you're going to start doing some of the things the actors are doing in it. And they're actors, and all of a sudden now you're going to be wondering, why is my body doing this? Because you've spent the time thinking about things. He giveth more grace. He resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. So submit to God and resist the devil. And then he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. So you say, how am I going to make it? Then think straight. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And so a thought comes before the action. Now I'm going to see if you're with me. If not, I'm starting the whole sermon over. All right. As a man thinketh, so is his body doing it. So is he. So here's what I want you to think about tonight. A thought comes before the action comes. And did you know that's why in Psalm 1, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then it describes how he'll be a tree planted and so forth. So, if I'm going to be planted, I'll tell you what. I know a perfect way to illustrate this. I want you right now to think about a hot fudge sundae. Creamy, thick chocolate, not the sauce like Hershey's that just comes out fast, but the thick stuff. And I want you to put that in your mouth right now. And I want you to start chewing that hot fudge sundae. Now, how many can't wait till I finish the sermon? I did this in one church and talked about pizza. I said, picture that cheese in your teeth right now. Half the church went out for pizza afterwards. You know why? I had them all thinking about pizza, right? And their body followed what they thought about. True? You think of a steak. There's nothing in the world better than a steak sub. A Philly. I even went to Philadelphia and went to the restaurant where Philly's began, and it tasted worse than any Philly I've had anywhere in the world. But anyway, it was the place where they founded it. But you start thinking about food. Have you ever wondered why when somebody diets, they eat more? Why is that? Because they start reading the books on how to diet, and they see all the pictures of food. So they go through the recipe book and they start seeing all the things they're supposed to eat and all the things they're not supposed to eat. And so all of a sudden they've thought about food so much they start eating more than before they didn't even think about it. Listen to this, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. How am I going to do that? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Is the next verse. Right? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So if you don't make up your mind, your unmade mind will unmake you. Let me say that again. If you don't make up your mind to meditate on the Bible, your unmade mind will unmake you. Thinking is the hardest work there is. Do you know? When I study, I am so much more exhausted than when I play volleyball all day. Doesn't it say study is a weary to the mind somewhere? Right? I think study is a weariness to the flesh. Do you know? Thinking right takes so much discipline. Because you're going through all kinds of stuff all day long. And you're seeing all kinds of stuff throughout the day. You got to say, all right, mind, get back to what's right. Now, Henry Ford said this. Thinking is the hardest work there is, which is the probable reason why few engage in it. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. How? How is it possible for somebody to be an example of all those things? The next verse tells us, till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Because, so, you know, without the truth of God, I am thinking too earthly. So he says, if you're going to be an example of the believers, you better give attention to that. You'll notice if you watch the games tomorrow night, I'm always praying that God would speak to hearts during the message. And sometimes it gets my mind off the game. And all of a sudden I'm thinking, are they going to go to heaven or hell forever? And all of a sudden I'm beginning to think about that, and then I don't play very good. Because I know I'm going to be doing the most important thing in the world, and that's bringing the gospel. And how many believe there's nothing more important than that for a person's soul? Now, worshiping God is above everything, but I'm saying that reaching folks, as far as their soul goes, it's so important that I preach the gospel. And sometimes referees don't call things right. And by God's grace, if I'm thinking why I'm there, right, I'll never get upset at the referee. Because it'd be a horrible testimony, you know. One time a referee made a call that was obvious to everybody. She was trying to be fun. Like Tom Henderson tries to be fun. Anyway, so they'll make a call that was so obvious, and I'll walk up to him with somebody's glasses and hand the glasses to the referee, and everybody laughs, but they know I'm doing it in fun. But if you say, what keep you from, how could you play 20,000 games and never get upset at a ref? By God's grace. But I had to think right on why I'm there, precious souls. Right? So hang on. I am what I am because of how I think. Every sin in the Bible takes place in the brain. It's actualized in the brain. For example, lust takes place in the brain. Jealousy takes place because I'm thinking I should have what he had that I don't have. Pride, oh boy, I'm better than him. You're thinking something. Your foot doesn't get prideful. Right? Envy takes place in the mind. Anger starts in the mind. I've never heard anybody get angry because of their elbow. A person never had envy in his gizzard. Now, it might affect the gizzard. And so, what we've got to do is we've got to say this. Just like we showed you a little while ago, mouth, you didn't start watering till Evangelist Bob Holmes talked about the hot fudge sundae. Right? I love salad bars. In fact, every restaurant that has a salad bar is absolutely right with God. I love salad bars. But, you know, I could preach on that for a while, and maybe some folks would go to a salad bar if there is one around here. I think Haas's Steakhouse has one. Now, to conclude this message, I want to say this. You can come through that door, right back there, come into church and sit down and hear the most wonderful sermon you've ever heard Brother Long preach. And be even shocked that he got to the point and it wasn't long. And you can say, that truth he just gave has changed my life. I will never do that again. If he preached against something. I am so moved by your message that I'm going to shake your hand so hard that it's going to turn red. In fact, you might even hug your pastor so much that his insides start coming up. And be so moved by it. And then tomorrow, what in the world am I doing? You're not thinking about the sermon at the time. Why you're wondering what you're doing. So go back, 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 go back. And keep going back, and keep going back, and keep going back, and keep going back. By the way, how many believe the Bible is alive? The Word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive. I said, well, do you mean to tell me he could preach the same verse for a whole year and never leave that verse, and every time he opens it up and preaches it, I can still get something out of it? Because the Bible is a person. It's not a library book. This is an alive person who resurrected from the grave, who's given us a love letter. So when you open it, he could preach the same verse 52 times every Sunday. And if you go up and say, Pastor, why in the world do we have to hear that again? I've already heard you preach it so many times. And you know what the answer is? It's a person. It's alive. And it will speak every time. Husbands, look at your wife right now and say, why do I have to see you? I've seen you hundreds of times before. You say, I would never say that. She's a person. End of discussion. This is a personal love letter. Amen? And open it again and again and again so you can live what's preached. Father, I thank you for helping us tonight with a practical thought that we are what we think. And if we cast out fear, we will not be accusing you. Help us to go through our life not accusing you because we're thinking wrong. Instead of thinking of your power, we're thinking about how we're going to get through whatever it is. Help us to always drive us to yourself and use this truth in our lives. And I pray, God, for tomorrow night. I'm going to have Pastor come and close the service, and maybe we have a few people pray for tomorrow night. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor.